This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Hour number two of the Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. As always, our,
As always, our podcast is uploaded minutes after this show ends.
Can you talk either?
Anybody.
I just had like a...
It rubbed off on me.
I just had the weirdest just brain collapse. Okay, let me try this again.
Sounds problematic.
It does sound problematic. Live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. As always, the podcast is uploaded moments after the show. As always, the Periscope is streaming live right now on the Facebook and Twitter accounts. As always, you can go and check out fanrunradio.com for all the latest news and information on Tennessee football, basketball, and baseball. And last but not least, but most importantly, go ahead and download the free Fan Run Radio app on the Google Store, on the Apple App Store. You can go and check it out today for free. Take the show, take the station, wherever you're headed, each and every day throughout the day.
Why'd you close your eyes?
I was really trying to get in the zone. Did you notice that? I had like my eyes locked there.
You say this every day.
You guys just all want to close our eyes for the rest of the show?
No.
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 I don't think that would be good.
Be very difficult.
Why?
What?
What?
I feel like it's just still
very
talking.
Very difficult?
To do
you
rest?
Need to see to talk?
No. I mean, it's fine. I'm talking with my eyes closed right now.
Eyes closed.
I don't think Charlie could do a whole segment with his eyes closed.
Oh, I bet you I can. I'll take the hat off so you can see. Hold up. I got to place my hat down. Okay, ready?
All right, Charlie. Give me the stats for Tennessee's wide receivers last year.
The leading returning receiver is Velus Jones Jr. He had just over 300 yards and two touchdowns.
Okay, keep going. The whole eyes closed thing, you know, you got
it's
the
tough.
You got
no,
the
like, I don't,
you
I,
guys are just talking about going. The speaking part. You got to we got a computers to look at and things. Chance can't close his eyes. He's got a board to run. We got to
well,
it's
not even about like him looking. I think it's very tough to talk for 15 minutes with your eyes closed.
I'm proving it so far. You want me to continue? How close was I on Velus Jones Jr.? I feel like that was pretty accurate.
I didn't know.
We want you to keep your eyes closed this entire segment.
I mean, I don't give him stats. Well, I think he's just saying it's not that hard to talk with your eyes closed.
Well, we're saying
the way
that
Chance
is,
just said that, I feel like he's going to sneak up and do something to me now.
You're right.
He's 280 yards, three touchdowns.
That's what we do. We talk.
I was like almost spot on.
We're putting together a sports radio show.
I mean, I don't look at my
that's different
computer
from
in the first place.
Yeah, I don't think he does. I just genuinely think it's tough to talk to somebody for 15 minutes with your eyes closed. Let's not act like that's easy.
I would just be tempted to open my eyes.
Yes, that's
like,
what I'm saying.
Not even about the talking.
It's not even about looking
at
anything.
I'm going to finish like this.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
All right. With that being said, Chance, you want to do what we always do right about now?
It's about that time. Is Charlie going to be able to do this too?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's going to open his eyes eventually. It's just human nature.
I'm not going to.
I want you to know this segment's going to stretch.
Oh, yeah. It's not going to be a short segment.
No.
Mister,
no,
I can do it.
No.
Am I talking into my mic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Cool. I'm good right here.
You need to hold it. So we can't keep going back to that. Try to get back to your mic. You got to hold it so you know where you are. All right.
No, I'm good. I'm staying here. I just had to put my headphones on.
I was like, put your headphones
you
so you can hear yourself.
You should get a blindfold. Make it easier on you.
Well, I think that would be easier with the blindfold. Oh, come on. We don't know if he's got his eyes open underneath the shirt or not.
I was going to use the shirt as
first
a blindfold.
First down, Rick.
I was take it off.
No, just keep it. Do it like this.
All right, I swear, this first segment will not be entirely about Charlie. Here we go. First down. Gentlemen, the Premier Golf League is back in the news, and I find it fascinating. Phil Mickelson is actually the first to kind of break his silence about it. He's the first one to not bash the Super League, although many others have. If you haven't known about this, a group of investors out of Saudi Arabia, and they've tried to actually do this before, but are trying to essentially put together its own Super Golf League. right? In its efforts to entice well-known and highly ranked players to join a circuit that would play a global schedule with absolutely massive payouts. Right, think about kind of collecting just the top talent in the world, taking them on a tour, and that's kind of your group, almost like a showcase, a global traveling showcase. Now, I find this interesting because there's pros and cons. Like, what could this hypothetically look like? But, again, the story right here for now is that a lot of these high-named, high-profile golfers are not really looking too fond about this like they typically have been. Now, again, Phil Mickelson, he is the one so far to kind of not shoot it down immediately. There's a massive payout involved here. For a lot of people, that is the enticing part. And I believe that is absolutely it for him. But as for the rest of them, doesn't look too likely. But I got to tell you, I'd at least like to know what this would look like in a hypothetical sense from a fan standpoint.
Well, Phil's, could be interesting. Phil's known for liking to bet, and so anything that's going to be a nice purse each week is going to entice him. Was it up to $10 million per, they're talking about per week being able to make in this Premier Golf League? Yeah. I think is what I saw on ESPN.
Yeah, it's wild, but you know, you got to think about that too. Like, they're not just asked to what a wildly different schedule than what they're doing now, right? Where they get to kind of play what they want, do what they want. This would be a, hey, you got to be here for this photo shoot. Got to be here for this investor dinner. Got to be here for this meet and greet. Like, you have to play this, 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 and this.
But to me, why would you leave? I don't see why you would leave. Why would you leave the PGA Tour? That'd be like if you told LeBron James, okay, we're going to start this new basketball league, but you have to leave the NBA. So, like, why would you leave the best league in the world to go play for some startup?
Well, I think if your main concern is money, I would believe
that. These guys' main concern is not money.
What about for the ones that are not winning every week?
Some of them.
Well, then they're probably not the ones that the new Super League is going after, though.
I think that some of them is based on. I mean, LeBron's got a guaranteed contract. That's what this golf league is. It is guaranteed this $10 million buyout, right? It's not, hey, you have to go and place this high at the Masters.
Here's some of the numbers on it.
Hold on.
Wait, I want to hear the numbers.
Sorry.
It's a $40 million bonus pool to be split among 10 players who perform best in various engagement activities that move the needle, and would pay $8 million to the player who leads the program. And according to the Telegraph story, the Premier Golf League would offer the top players $30 million up front.
Yeah.
With a share of the teams they would be part of. Up
and that's
front.
Huge.
I just, a couple things. Phil was going to chase the check. If you are going to the Super League, you got to think that you would make, you know, some of that money on the front end, but in the long run, I feel like you'd probably hurt your sponsorship money because you're not going to get the same same spotlight that you otherwise would get in the PGA Tour. So companies aren't going to pay the same to sponsor you, or might drop sponsorships. Furthermore, they're trying to compete with the PGA Tour, but they're trying to schedule it during when the Ryder Cup would be, and people aren't going to miss the Ryder Cup. That's too big of a deal. You know, I guess you're going to have a lot of players that wouldn't get to make the Ryder Cup, so maybe they'd be more enticed to go there for that period of time. But I feel like if you're going to compete with the PGA Tour, the best time to do that would be during a little six-week stretch where they're not playing in any of the major tournaments. I don't know. This is already something we've seen going on, you know, not to the extent of exclusivity, pay you $30 million, join all these events, go to all these fundraising dinners, but, I mean, there have been guys that have gone and played in the Middle East and Abu Dhabi and on the Asian tour as well, in tournaments specifically that have bigger purses where they can just go fly out there for a couple weeks, play for the bigger purses, and come back for bigger PGA Tour events.
Yeah, you're right. It would be very much a, hey, you got to be here in Japan on Tuesday, Dubai on Saturday.
I don't think it'll work.
American, you know, states on Monday. So it's such a interesting concept. Yeah, that's a little bit of news about it right now. As again, Phil Mickelson is the first one to, I think, not shoot it down immediately, which I guess is notable enough to make the news wire today. All right, moving right along here into Major League Baseball. Brandon, this one's for you here. Major League, one of MLB's best pitchers could be back on the mound this weekend as the Mets are expected to have Jacob DeGrom return to the mound Sunday versus Arizona.
Yeah, he got scratched from the start. I think it was Tuesday. Just a little soreness. I think everything's gonna be fine. No big deal.
Your Metropolitans are also, you know, getting closer to getting Noah Syndergaard back.
Yes, that is true.
April 28th, he started throwing live simulated batter, like throwing to live simulated batters, throwing off the mound and increasing his work. And they think that he could be back, you know, late May, early June. He's way ahead of schedule.
Too bad pitching's not the problem.
Hey, Noah can hit.
That's true. He can. Pitchers who can rake.
I love it. I love pitchers that hit.
Except for when it happens to your team.
A grand salami.
We gave up a grand slam yesterday, too. If you wanted to make fun of me, I don't know if you caught that.
I saw that we had a...
It was a regular batter, though. It wasn't a pitcher this time.
We had tweets from Callum last night and this morning about that. That was pretty funny. I saw that come on the news wire. Moving right along to third down. I find this one interesting. A couple of recent big bets on an NBA long shot has showed up at sportsbooks in multiple states. How about this one? DraftKings has reported that a bettor in Colorado on Tuesday has placed a $20,000 bet on the Atlanta Hawks to win the NBA title at 100-1 odds. According to DraftKings, the same bettor placed another $20,000 bet on Atlanta to win the Eastern Conference at 40-1. If the Hawks can shock the NBA by winning the title, the two bets would pay a net $2.8 million combined. But wait, there's more. In Las Vegas, the Westgate Superbook reported taking a $5,000 bet on the Hawks on Wednesday at 80-1 odds. The Hawks' title odds have gone from 200-1 to 50-1 at the Superbook in the past 2 weeks. In March, the Hawks were at 500-1 at the Caesars Sportsbook. They had a losing record, had just fired coach Lloyd Pierce and replaced him with Nate McMillan. Atlanta's 21-11 under McMillan, and bettors have taken notice. Wow. Some major, major bets being thrown around on the Hawks. Chance, why? Why are people so hot on the Hawks right now?
I mean, I don't know why. I mean, I think they have done it. I mean,
21-11 is a good record right now.
I mean, the return on investment for that bet, but they're not going to win a title. Like, I think they've done an excellent job. Nate McMillan's a great coach. He's a good coach in Indiana, though, too. And they made the right change by doing that, but they're not getting through the Nets and the Sixers. So, yeah.
People are betting value. I mean, which is suggested when you think that the book has something way undervalued, you're supposed to strike. But I don't think you should always apply that. Even when something has good value, if you don't think it can happen at all. I mean, that's probably just someone that has stupid money.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying.
Just FU money.
Yeah, you got the money.
Like, who cares about 20K?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Yeah, you got the money to throw away. I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a great return investment on that bet.
I think the Hawks cap is like a second-round exit. Their ceiling. I think they're a first or second round exit.
I would tend to agree. Second round. Not much past that.
I bet. I made a board bet with Cam that they don't make it out of the first, so.
It's going to be interesting to see it, but man, huge bets being thrown around as one man tossing about $45,000 combined for the Hawks to win the East and win the NBA title. All right, last but not least, fourth down. We mentioned it a little bit at the beginning of the show today, guys, but Coach Josh Heupel has found a new wide receiver to bring to the class and to bring to the Tennessee football team. Javonte Payton, a wide receiver out of Hillsboro High School in Nashville. Payton was originally in the 2017 recruiting class. He had a commit to Ole Miss, but eventually started out in JUCO. So the JUCO kind of, you know, made its he made his way through the JUCO rankings. And then eventually did choose Mississippi State, even though Tennessee also recruited him. This was a guy who in 2017 a lot of Tennessee fans wanted. I do remember very specifically that this was a high-level recruit that people wanted here. Now you're able to bring him back. Payton played 2 years at Mississippi State for the Bulldogs. He recorded one touchdown in his time there, 28 receptions, 372 yards. Although, last season was the most productive year. He recorded 19 grabs, 225 yards, and the touchdown. including a breakout in the season opener when he went bananas. 122 yards on 6 receptions against LSU. Remember how wildly scoring that game was?
Yeah.
LSU-Mississippi State at the beginning of the year, and then we were like, okay, Mississippi State, maybe the best offense in the league, the spread, the leech. Oh, my God, it's working.
No, they just
– turns out LSU just had the worst defense in the SEC.
Yeah.
Shout out Bo Pelini.
Yeah, that was basically it. So, yeah, Javonte Payton joins Tennessee. And, man, this wide receiver room is looking pretty darn good right now, as it's got a lot of different kind of talent, a lot of good talent, a lot of untapped talent. And I think if they can really put everything together, find the right quarterback for this system – boy, those boys are going to have some yards coming up this season.
Depth.
Yeah.
Lots of depth.
Easily our best depth position right now on the team, I would believe.
I feel like, I don't want to be negative here, but I feel like guys that go JUCO and then Power 5 and then transfer, you know, again, usually don't pan out. But he's a guy with upside. A good person to add to your receiving room.
I got one for you. You can take any exception, but how about one Alvin?
Well, no, he went the other way around. Kamara. He went Power 5, then JUCO.
And then JUCO?
I'm saying, yeah, JUCO first, then Power 5, and then leaving that Power 5. It usually just means that they didn't pan out as well as they thought coming out of JUCO, and they got passed up on the depth chart.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You know, sometimes that much transition and... you know, see how that goes. But hey, not a bad season last year. Hopefully the staff sees that and that's what they want to build on. But again, bringing in talent, not too bad. And that is it. That is it for your opening drive here today on a Thursday, May the 6th. Not too bad. Not too bad.
Apex Pest Control is your complete pest man.
All right, here we go. Back here on the Blitz. It is 11:21 a.m. You got Rick, Brandon, Chance, and Charlie hanging out with you as we are making our way through the second hour of the program today. Man, we've tackled a lot of topics already so far on the show, but we still got a couple big things coming up left, including a little Tennessee basketball right here in this upcoming segment. But first, hey, in case you still want to get in on the show today here on a Thursday, we're getting you close to the weekend, but not there yet. Hey, give us a call. 865-546-8200. We'd love to hear from you today. But as I just mentioned, we've really hit a lot of different things. But let's kind of lock back in on a little local news from Tennessee and looking at the basketball side of things. Good news coming down the wire yesterday as updated rankings throughout some of the systems across college basketball. And Tennessee jumps. Man, Tennessee jumps to the second-ranked team in the 2021 basketball recruiting class, right behind Michigan. Tennessee was number 3, Michigan was number 2, and Duke was number 1. Duke fell to 3, Tennessee rose to 2, and Michigan rose to 1. So right there, Tennessee number 1 in the SEC, number 2 overall nationally, with 2 5-stars, 2 4-stars, 1 3-star for an average ranking of 96.69. And it really is something to note here as you look at Tennessee's roster, as you look at the class that Tennessee put together, and it is something special. Kennedy Chandler continues to rise in the rankings as he is now just, get this number, get this, 0.0009 of a point, of whatever, away from being Tennessee's all-time best basketball recruit. As again, he continues to jump up in the rankings. Let's see. Kennedy Chandler in the 2021 top basketball recruits overall, listed as the number 8th player in the nation overall again. That's something to stand out. Then you can move down the list a little bit, and you get to Brandon Huntley Hatfield, who, if I remember correctly, had to reclassify into the 2021 class. So he jumps up all the way to number 19 as the 19th overall best player in the class. And really behind those two guys right there, behind that center point of this class, Tennessee has skyrocketed in the rankings and really will bring together one of the absolute best classes in the nation this upcoming season.
Yeah, I mean, Kennedy Chandler made a nice little jump into the top 10. He also took control of the number one point guard spot in the nation. He was number two behind an Alabama commit. He is now number one and very close to being Tennessee's top recruit of all time.
Yeah, J.D. Davison for Alabama.
And then Brandon Hatfield, he was a top 10 player in the 2022 class, the number one power forward. So he dropped a little bit reclassifying, which is expected just because, you know, he's now younger compared to the other guys that are being ranked.
Yeah.
But, you know, the huge part, the huge thing for Tennessee, the thing that really helped make this jump was not Hatfield or Chandler, but it was Jonas Adu. Adu made a huge jump in the rankings. He jumped nearly 40 spots. I believe it was 38 spots in the ranking. And now he is a much higher regarded prospect.
Yeah, you are 100% right about that. And this was the guy that Tennessee got because of, oh man, I'm going to blank on the name right now. Because of the assistant coach.
From Marquette. What's his name?
Gainey.
Not Rod
Gainey.
Clark. Yes, Justin Gainey.
Justin Gainey.
You guys nailed it. Because of Justin Gainey. So really, you can see how much that is already factored into what Tennessee is able to do, as this is really now looked at as one of the top-rated kind of overall players in the class. I know it's still a four-star ranking, but the number one player out of North Carolina, not too bad. The number six center overall, man, this is a guy standing 6'11", 215 pounds. I'm really excited about this guy right here, but Charlie's right. You get some movement from the Tennessee players. Everybody advances up a little bit. You get Brandon Huntley-Hatfield reclassifying into the class. But in total, those six players, Kennedy Chandler, Brandon Huntley-Hatfield, Jonas Adu, Jemai Meshack, Quentin DeBougie, and Justin Powell Panther. Woo! It's fun, man. It's going to be fun. It's got to be one of Tennessee's all-time best classes, right?
It is their best class.
All-time?
Ranking-wise, yes.
Yeah.
And I think talent-wise, I think it's their best, too, obviously. Yeah, I'd take this year's class over last year's.
Yeah, I mean, I think last year's class was I think it was the highest or maybe the most regarded. But I think this one's kind of one-upped that class. So
yeah, like when you look at last class, it was, you had two revolutionary five-star players, but essentially they were both guards, right? I think in this class you're able to get those highly talented players. If you look at the five guys who have signed their letter of intent, you can field a full roster right there. You got a point guard, a power forward, a center, a small forward, and a shooting guard. Literally right there on the 247 lineup. You could put together a full starting lineup with everybody having their own position. So that right there tells you that, man, Tennessee is bringing in talent in multiple aspects of the court. I was going to say all over the court, but it's really not that big, so that doesn't make sense. But just in all aspects of the offensive game and defense, I mean, this is really, really, it's a really, really encouraging class. And certainly the rankings and the updated rankings are doing nothing but proving that.
I think it's a class that's better suited to play together as well, and a class that's better suited for what Rick Barnes specifically wants to accomplish with both offensively and defensively, which excites me. And hopefully, as long as Rick Barnes is Tennessee's head coach, you know, I think that you should expect Tennessee to be a mainstay. Not necessarily with the number two class, but, you know, within that top five, within that top ten, you know, I think he's going to consistently deliver with those kind of classes.
Yeah, and we've said that. We've been saying that now for the last couple of years now. Like, once he got into those pool of players, the five stars and, you know, the one and dones, like,
yeah,
that's where Tennessee was going to stay. He just had to, you know, because everybody knows he can develop, but you had to get on the same level playing field as the rest of the big-time programs and pull in some of these five-stars. You just have to.
Yeah, absolutely. But you got to translate that into wins.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want to be Kentucky and just be a factory for the NBA. Kentucky's not happy with that.
I mean,
they're happy with it. But I think in hindsight, they're saying, hey, Like, it's great to have all these players in the NBA, but
I'd be happy with multiple Final Fours and a national championship.
Yes, I would too. Kentucky's probably the difficult comparison there.
Well, they've had the one since, but like multiple title appearances. You are correct on that. I mean, yeah, I would be elated with that.
Yeah, like what I'm trying to say is, as happy as I am to be, you know, now on the level where we're going to be putting guys in the NBA and really putting together high level prospects, if it doesn't equate in wins, you know, that's just what's got to happen. Five of Tennessee's top eight all time recruits coming in the last 3 years.
What happens when you hire a Hall of Fame coach?
Say that again.
I said that's what happens when you hire a Hall of Fame coach.
Yep, you're damn right, Brandon. You're dadgum right. Man, I know that, you know, things have been disappointing at certain times, but we are entering, like, look, again, those five recruits, five out of your top eight, have all come within the last 3 years. This is what we're building on now, and one of the seasons was the pandemic season. It was very difficult. Think things are only trending upwards right now. And I'm a little bit optimistic on all sides of things for Tennessee right now because baseball's going good and number two class in the country in basketball, number one in the SEC, and football's getting together some recruits. So I might be a little bit optimistic right now, man, but I just believe that we're on the right track. But again, I will be the first one to be critical if all this talent doesn't equate to postseason success. Essentially, that's the thing that matters. We're all going to be super thrilled for these guys once they get to the NBA. Just because people are frustrated with the team this year doesn't mean they were any less happy for Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer declaring for the draft. But yeah, we look at last season as a disappointment. We look at last season as a borderline failure because he looked like the worst team in the postseason.
I mean, that's the one thing that's lacking from Barnes' time here.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the SEC regular season championship.
You've got the number one ranking.
You got to a Sweet 16, but I mean that team should have gone much farther.
Yeah,
it's all you're lacking is postseason success.
Yeah, I still think you should be judged more on your regular season win totals and just what you do for the program in that regard. Just because the postseason is just such a crapshoot, it's so difficult that it does just take a while to break through. It takes just a consistent effort of bringing in good players and having good teams and for you to break through. I mean, it took Dean Smith like 20 years to win a national championship, for example, and he's one of the best coaches of all time. And I mean, let's not forget too, and with some of the tournament failures that Tennessee's had, the loss to Loyola, you were without Kyle Alexander that tournament, the loss to Purdue shouldn't have been a loss. Purdue was clearly out of bounds with 2 seconds left. I mean, regardless of whether you want to argue the foul with Lamonte Turner, it's undeniable that the ball went off Purdue and it should have been Tennessee basketball for them to inbound it, hit a free throw, and win the game. So, you know, that could have gone much differently. Tennessee would have matched up great with Virginia the following in the Elite Eight, too. So, I mean, there's just a lot of unforeseen circumstances, a lot of unfortunate circumstances, and winning in the tournament is just so hard to do.
Well, I certainly didn't mean for this to get into a, you know, oh man, we're disappointed because we just need some wins. Like the whole point of the conversation originally was supposed to be highlighting Tennessee's number two class in the country, number one in the SEC. Yeah, still right though. All that matters is what you do with it, what you do with the talent next year, because it's there. All right, here we go. Back here on the Blitz, it is 11:37 a.m. as we are making our way through the second hour of the program right here on Fan Run Radio Fox Sports Knoxville. Checking around on the Twitter trends as we are making our way through a beautiful Thursday right here on the show. I am seeing that one of my interest has been piqued, Brandon. It looks like a new Stranger Things season. What? Season what are we on? Season
four.
Four. Trailer has been released. Okay, have you seen this?
I have.
What's your initial impression?
I'm intrigued. I'll be honest. I didn't really care for the last two seasons.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you said that. Oh, my God. I feel so justified now. I'm so glad you didn't like the last two seasons.
I mean, they were okay. They weren't nearly as good as the first one.
I totally agree. I felt like the first season was game-changing. Game-changing the world of television, the world of Netflix, everything. I got into a Twitter argument with Dave and Bill, of all people, like a month ago about this.
Dave and Bill?
Davey and Billy.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Dave and Bill. Who is he talking
Dave
about?
Dave and Bill. You know, our good friends, Dave and Bill.
I was very confused.
No need to be confused, everybody. Dave and Bill.
But yeah, it looks like the trailer starts. We've got some kids playing with cars in a room.
The end of the last one, he was at what's his name?
Hopper.
Yeah, Jim Hopper. He was captured, right? Spoiler alert. He was captured and he was put in he's taken to Russia.
I don't think he was captured. He went and saved the day by jumping in that wormhole thing.
But didn't they bring him out? And now they have him.
We don't really know. They just cut to him in Russia.
Okay.
I don't know what happened. He's
okay.
Just there.
So did they pick back up on that in the trailer?
No.
No?
It looks like we're going back to the very beginning.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like that.
It looks like it starts in some kind of hospital. There are some children in a room playing with cars.
Okay.
And playing Plinko.
Do we have Shining vibes?
I'm a big, big fan of Plinko. It's one of my favorite games on The Price is Right.
It's a great game.
Very fun.
And then you hear the doctor from the season.
Witch doctor?
No, not a witch doctor.
Da na na witch doctor. Da na 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 now.
Da na na.
Oh my God!
Just a.
What just happened?
Just a doctor.
Can't believe the witch doctor himself did not like that.
That was
his Halloween thing. It was great.
No, ting ting.
Let's not.
I told the witch doctor I was in love with you.
Hey.
I'm trying to tell you about the Stranger Things trailer.
He told me what
I'm about to walk out of here. That is
do it.
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah.
Do you want to know about Stranger Things or not?
Walla Bing Bang.
That's what I thought, Brandon.
Anyway. Coward. These children all look like. They all look like 11. And they have the doctor from the first season. The one that she calls Papa.
We got a bunch of little 11s rolling around.
You hear his voice.
Well, I don't think they're all 11. I think she's number 11.
She's number 11.
Like
the camera pans out from the room that they're playing in. It's going down this hallway and it zooms in on room number.
But they're all identical?
They've been experimented upon the same way with the whatever they did.
It's a bunch of new 11s.
Are they clones of the 11 that we know?
I don't know. I've seen the same trailer that you have. It's a minute. I don't know.
In fairness, I haven't seen it yet.
We know that there are more, mutated people than just 11.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out if they're clones. 11.
I don't know.
Okay, well, do they look the same?
I don't know. They look like her.
Is it the same actress?
No.
Okay.
It's just a bunch of new 11s.
Children that look like her.
Okay. Well, that was like what we were saying. It's just. There are a bunch of people that look like 11. I was like, so is it just 11 playing a bunch of different people?
No.
That's what I was
just
thinking.
Just a bunch of new
11.
That's what
situation.
I figured was the answer, but Brandon did not do a good job explaining it.
Well, Brandon's about to walk out.
If you would let me finish.
Well, Brandon won't walk out. He's a coward.
Whoa.
That's twice with the C
word. It pans down the hallway, and it looks like a hospital, an old dilapidated hospital. Pans down the hallway, there are a bunch of rooms, and then it zooms in on one room, and that room has the number 11 on it.
Ooh.
So what I'm thinking, it's going back to the very beginning of Stranger Things, before season one.
To let you
know. And it's going to let you know how 11 got her powers. That's what I think it's going to be about.
Didn't they already kind of tell us how she got her powers with like the weird LSD testing?
Not really.
Well, I guess they're going to dive more into it.
You think they filmed this over at ORNL?
No.
Mm. Well, we know that's what the show is based on. Remember, we figured that out one time.
We did.
Many years ago.
Yeah, dude.
Within like the first 2 months of our show starting, we connected all the dots. The entire show of Stranger Things is based on ORNL.
Well, that makes sense.
Not really.
It's because of the extra dimensional experiments they're doing over there as well. All right, so the trailer, you seem in on it, though, at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in. I'm in. I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
And I'm sure they'll drop another trailer. Like I said, this was just a minute. And I'm sure they're not going to have a whole season without the other four children.
They couldn't have it.
It was supposed to have come out around Christmas time before it got delayed, and it was going to have a Christmas theme or something like that. I don't know.
I wonder if maybe like something got reworked. Like maybe they're going, maybe they didn't have the whole cast to film with or something like that. Maybe they're doing like a little bit of a workaround, because I thought it was going to be Christmas themed too. But anyways, all right, good stuff right there. Good stuff right there. Stranger Things. I'm a little appalled about how we could never get on the same page about the clone question for so long, but
because you wouldn't let me finish. I told you they were not clones.
I don't think you did. I don't know. Nothing says Christmas theme like experimenting on children, though.
That is what they say. That is what they say.
No one says that.
The elves.
You think the elves are clones?
You know, elves experiment on children.
No.
I thought, is that what you were saying?
No. Like, the elves were probably, like, the elves could be a 1 through 11 kind of situation from Santa. What if Santa's like this, you know, overlord, tyrant?
Santa's a mad scientist?
Yeah. You don't like that route? Or are you thinking so deeply about it because you feel like we hit something? We feel like we struck gold? Or are you dumbfounded in our stupidity?
I don't think you struck gold. I'm not sure what.
Not sure what we struck.
We struck.
But it was not gold. It's not gold.
Well, on that note then, we should probably take a little bit of a reset then. So good stuff right there with the Stranger Things. I can't wait for it. It's always fun to break those things down a little bit. But we'll regroup real quick, take a couple minutes off, let you hear these commercials, and then be back to close out the show. We'll close with a bang right here on Fan Run Radio. All right, here we go. Back here on the Blitz, 11:49 a.m. Rick, Brandon, Chance, and Charlie hanging out with you, making our way through the final segment of this Thursday edition of the show. It's a beautiful day outside. Go and enjoy a little bit of sun outside if you do. But, hey, when you do, make sure to be careful. Make sure that you are staying safe out there on the roads or really just wherever you are. Because, hey, if anything does happen, if you or a loved one does get injured in an accident any kind of way, do what we do here at Fan Run Radio. Do the right thing. Do the best thing to do. Call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit g3helmy.com or call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. Boy, is that a lot. Let the G3 team get you the money that you deserve. Again, that is g3helpme.com. All right, gentlemen, here we go. The sun is shining. The birds are chirping. Let's move into a little If You Haven't Heard.
All right, I got two. If you haven't heard, the Lions have waived running back Kerryon Johnson, former Auburn standout.
Interesting.
Only 24 years old. I think he's maybe been in the league for 3 seasons, but he's already been waived by the Lions. So probably be a lot of teams looking for a running back.
Yeah,
he'll get another shot.
He was a good flex option for fantasy purposes.
Yeah,
he was good when healthy. I mean, they got Swift, and they like Swift better.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect like the Falcons to target him.
Yeah,
their number one running back's Mike Davis right now.
Yeah, he's young. A lot of teams probably going to go out there, and he'll get another shot. Also, if you haven't heard, today is the 90th birthday of Willie Mays.
Wow, Willie Mays.
Happy birthday to Willie Mays.
Very
90
cool.
years young. MLB Network and their official Twitter, they did like a roundup of most of the big name stars in the MLB right now. They all sent their happy birthday well wishes. I think I saw Mike Trout in there, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, also Ken Griffey, and Cal Ripken was also in the video. Bunch of big names from past and present day. So that was pretty cool. Saw that earlier.
Hey, that is very cool. I'll have to go check that out myself after the show.
If you haven't heard, Tennessee signee Kennedy Chandler has landed his invite to the USA Under-19 tryout. No shock here. Chandler, big pickup for the Vols. He'll be sure to show out at this tryout. He'll more than likely make that team.
Man, it's going to be fun to watch some of these Tennessee basketball players kind of go through their final circuits, if you will, kind of some of these award seasons and recognitions and things like that before they jump to Tennessee. Because you know with a guy like that, you know with a guy like Brandon Huntley Hatfield, that they are doing big things around the nation right now before they step foot on campus. So it's going to be cool to watch them and track them. And who knows, maybe Kennedy Chandler's still a guy that could wind up being Tennessee's best recruit all time, as he is now, what, .0009 away.
The recruiting rankings were the final ones, though. So he
oh,
will,
those were the,
yeah, he
oh,
will
those
come
were the
up
final?
Just short, unfortunately. Even though, personally, I think he is our best recruit of all time.
Bummer. I thought there might have been one more, but I miswrote that down. Well, hey, number three, not too bad. Not too bad, especially when you're behind Tobias and Scotty Hobson.
Scotty.
All right, who's next?
If you haven't heard from Adam Schefter, Dolphins have informed team captain and starting safety Bobby McCain that they are releasing him today.
Oh. Starting safety? And a captain?
And team captain. Life hits you fast.
Wow, yeah. Typically, something's got to happen for you to just drop your captain like that, right? Maybe something's behind that?
Who knows?
Well, I know a couple teams in the NFL who could use a starting caliber safety who is a team captain credibility.
Cowboys.
We'll see who he goes with. That was one of them. Let's see. If you haven't heard, where is this story? A town in Japan, what a wild story. A town in Japan spent $230,000 in COVID relief funds on a 43-foot what statue?
Pickle.
Pickle Rick.
What kind of statue?
That's my question to you.
A bat.
Close but no cigar. As this town in Japan, they spent their $230,000 of COVID relief funds on a 43-foot squid statue. Brandon, if you could look at this thing. Weird.
What's it for?
It is for tourism.
Who would want to go see that thing?
Apparently, it's a global phenomenon almost. They feel like this was going to promote tourism once the pandemic went away. People were going to be flocking over to Noto, the town, a fishing town, to see their big squid.
Yen. Well, Noto is known for flying squids. So
flying squid?
Yeah.
What? It's like the squids that jump.
Yeah, the ones that just jump.
How do you not know that?
Shouldn't they be called the jumping squid?
No.
No, I like flying squid better.
Yeah, that probably is cooler.
That
probably
should be
cooler.
If that's not already, it should 100% be a minor league baseball team name.
Oh, the flying squids?
Yes.
Oh, good, great name. Yeah.
I mean, already have the flying Bengal tigers and the flying squirrels. You might as well throw in, I don't know, the Des Moines flying squid.
One day for a summer content when we have absolutely nothing going on, way less than what we got now. We should do current great minor league baseball names like
we
that.
We need to throw
it's
in
to
collegiate
avoid predators,
summer.
Brandon.
Ooh.
We need to throw in collegiate summer league
flying squids
too.
To avoid predators,
And also to save energy as they migrate across vast expanses of ocean.
How long can they stay out of the water?
They can get up to as long as 30 meters above the water.
Okay,
but that'd be awesome.
Wouldn't the predator just wait for them to come back down?
When you jump that high, you're unpredictable.
You can fly.
30 meters? That's awesome. Imagine just seeing a squid get... I mean, 30 meters, what? That's like,
it's like
17 feet.
Is it?
Yeah. We'll go with that.
I don't know that.
I don't know myself. I don't know. Chancellor, I believe it's that time of the day.
It is that time. I will figure that out. So 30 meters because I have to know now.
Okay.
I guess you are right.
It's roughly 90 feet.
90 feet? Wow.
I was a little off.
A little bit.
98 feet. 98.42.
All right.
The days of the day, National Day calendar, May 6th, 2021, this Thursday. National Nurses Day. Shout out to the nurses on the front line.
Yeah, man.
Also, World Password Day. National Beverage Day. National Crepe Suzette Day. National Day of Prayer.
Okay.
And National Day of Reason.
Something we could use a little more from time to time, maybe. Hey, have a wonderful day today. Listen to Talk Sports coming up next, and we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a wonderful day. You listen to Blitz, Fan Run Radio. If you or a